You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, so welcome back to Mid-Morning Empowerment. Like I have promised you, we will be talking to Sister Syringe. She's on the line. Sister, good morning and welcome to Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Good morning, how are you?
I am very well, thank you. And how are you?
I am great. I hope everything is better today.
Yes, 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 I can hear you. It's loud and clear. And before we get into our conversation, can you pray for us?
Okay. We pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of life you've blessed us with this morning. Even as we delve into this conversation, a very serious conversation that we all need to be encouraged by, may be with us. And may you bless us not only through this conversation, but throughout the rest of our day and in everything that we do. In Jesus Christ's name we ask and pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, my sister, for that. So today we are looking at womanhood, the role of mentorship in woman empowerment. So behind every strong woman is often another woman who believed in her. Mentorship isn't just about advice. It's about guidance, confidence, building, and spiritual sisterhood. Whether formal or informal, mentorship is a game changer for growth, faith, and leadership. So my first question to you, my sister, is that what's the difference between a mentor and a role model, and why does it matter?
Okay. Like you've mentioned in your preamble, a mentorship is more about advice and guidance. So it's more personalized. So this is us getting guidance or advice from someone that we have a personal relationship or a certain relationship with them, which we have access to them, and they have access to us, with the goal of the focus being personal development. And then whereas a role model is someone whose behavior or values we are inspired by. So it's more inspirational, something that you'd want to achieve at some point in your life, but there's no personal relationship with that person. Then just to quickly sum it up, mentorship is more active because there's a communication that happens between you and your mentor or you and your mentee. Whereas a role model is more passive. You know, you see this celebrity, this influencer that you want to aspire to be like, but they have no access to you and you don't have any access to them other than a parasocial relationship.
Beautiful one.
And then the importance of understanding the two and knowing, appreciating the differences is it gives you a sense of direction because you need specific needs to be met. And if you're just, you know, you want to be like a role model, you don't know what they've gone through because you don't have personal access to them. You don't know how they got to where they are. But if you understand that mentorship is going to be more active, you know, this is someone you can approach, someone who will know you this, and they'll give you advice that's going to be practical and valuable to you, you know, specific to your needs. And like having a role model, my point is quite right, but a role model is more passive. This is someone you don't have access to. So when you understand the two, you will know when to differentiate who to make your role model, who can be your mentor.
Hey, powerful one. Thank you so much, my sister, for that. And why is mentorship important in helping women break generational and cultural barriers?
I think it has served as a tried and tested guidance model. I don't know if I could say it like that. But I think when we have this sense of sisterhood and you know, a connection among women, it's going to be very easy for us to put ourselves in their shoes. Because if they've been through it, right, and especially with our African background and our traditional culture is very, very important, right? So there are certain situations where you find yourself facing the challenges in your workplace, in your relationship, in marriage, church setting, but then you've seen these women who've gone before you. They've gone through the fire. They have been trained by society and whatever prejudices that lie in front of us. And when we have these women standing up front, and, you know, opening up their arms for us to reach out to them to ask them, how did you make it? How did you do it? It gives us a sense of hope because it means it's possible. So it's important for us to be clear to these women that have gone before us, that have made it, that are still making it. To be driven in the right direction, not to give up, because our society says women can't do it. Our culture says my woman can't work. It says no, your husband should be good to do that. But then if you've seen people who have made it in life, and they have successful marriages, they have successful families, successful businesses, and they're still women, it gives us a sense of hope. And you know, it's like, I can do it if they can do it.
And to our listeners at home, we are talking to Sister Serenje. We are looking at womanhood, the role of mentorship in women and in women empowerment. So, my sister, we continue with our topic. So, if you have any questions regarding our topic for today, you can send us your questions on +273 470 3520, +273 470 3520. So, my sister, what should a woman look for in choosing and becoming a mentor?
Okay. I think the very first thing should be having shared values. Because if you go back to the definition of who a mentor is, this is someone you have a personal relationship with. And the focus of the relationship is for you to have some sort of development, either in your personal life or in your professional life or whatever it is. So the first thing, you should have shared values. You should have relevant experiences that can be a template in your decision making. So you need to have a mentor that is probably has walked the road that you want to walk in, or they're walking a road that is similar to what you want to do, and they're the closest point to the template. There should be a sense of communication there, availability, commitment, and constructive feedback. So if you have a relationship, it's very important that it's a person relationship, because if you're not communicating with your mentor, you're not getting constructive feedback. If you want to be a mentor to someone and you're not communicating with them, you're not giving them the feedback that they need for them to get that development that we're talking about, which is the core focus of mentorship.
Right.
So we should be able to have or to look up to people who have a sense of availability, they'll have time for you, people who have great communication skills, they'll not leave you hanging, they'll not leave your WhatsApp messages on blue ticks when you need an urgent advice. And you need people who have similar experiences to you, so that even as they give you advice, they're going to say, okay, it's something she's faced, she's been in this hurdle before, and she's gone over this hurdle. So it's possible that whatever she's telling me is very viable and able to live up to the standard that has been set, either by society or the profession that you're in or the industry that you're in.
It sounds like we have a lot of work to do, because when you say things like that, this, I'm thinking about a girl mother, someone who needs to teach their children, especially girls, that we should not look at the picture or the appearance of the person. They call them role models. They should not look at that, but there's a character behind that picture they are looking at. They see things like, oh, this woman is wearing nice, and she's my role model because she's doing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and they forget about the character behind and the things that they can get behind that physical appearance. That was powerful. So how can spiritual mentorship strengthen identity and purpose?
Okay, just like you've mentioned, when we have a mentor, it's someone that we know that at least to some extent, we know about their character, we know about their values, and we know about the principles that they live by. And so when you have this mentor or there's this mentorship relationship, it means there's certain values, principles that you've seen in this person or this person has seen in you that they would want you to develop, because number one, going to make you a better person, either to your family, society, and the church. And it will also strengthen your relationship with God, because when you look at the life of your mentor and what they've been through, when they tell you their life story, or you've seen the things they've gone through, yet they still stand firm in their belief in Christ, it's going to give you a sense of, if they've been through the fire and they still have this much faith in God, it means I should just have as much faith in God, and He'll be able to pull me through. So it gives you an encouragement, because they're not just telling you, oh, we need to work hard, you need to focus, you need to be part of the 5 a.m. club. But then even as they're doing that, they're telling you the most important thing is having a relationship with God.
Yeah.
So when you see someone who not only develops professionally, in their relationship, in their businesses, and then they're thriving in their physical life as well. I think there's a sense of identity that you have as a gen being mentored compared to other people in the world, how they have mentorship, and you know, it's all about the drive, the hustle, the grind, without the aspect of having a God that allows you to experience all these things that you're going through. I think we want to touch on the story of Ruth and now, just came to me this morning. I didn't even plan to get it in this conversation, but then I just realized Ruth had the option to go back home.
Hey.
But then there must have been something that she saw in her mother-in-law that she's decided to change and literally convert to be an Israelite. She says, your God will be my God, the people will be my people. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Wherever they bury you, I want to be buried there. I want to believe Mimi was not only a Jewish mother-in-law, but she was such a sense of inspiration and a mentor to Ruth that she saw her value and says, I'd rather walk with this woman that I just met through marriage and I go back to people. She now identifies as an Israelite and decides to live the life that Naomi lives. So I believe that when we have mentorship programs and we decide to choose mentors or to be mentors to younger people, it not only strengthens them in their general life, you know, social life, businesses and whatever, but even their relationship with God, because now they identify more with the God that we identify.
Yeah, last one before I let you go, my sister. How do we create safer and accessible spaces for mentorship among women in the church? Hey, I'd like to hear your answer for this one.
So number one, I want to emphasize embracing the different skill sets and gifts that we have in the church. I think more often than not, we try to separate our lives when we go to church. Like, oh, your professional life remains out when you walk in. You're now a youth member. You're now a Dorcas mother. You're now a women ministry member. But then when we embrace these gifts, these skills that we have and combine those with spirituality, I think it's going to be a very, very encouraging environment. And it's going to be more forward thinking. And like, I don't know if it's just here in Zambia or in other countries as well, where there's this notion of women's ministry or Dorcas women ministry groups being more gossip sessions. There isn't much going on. And, you know, we're very much discouraged of young people because it's like, okay, if I just go there, they're just going to be asking about my husband.
Exactly.
What I'm doing, you know. But then if we embrace our skill sets, we want to know what the young people are doing. Yes, you're done with school, you want to get married, it's not just about marriage, what else do you want to do in life? So when we have older people who've gone before us, it doesn't matter, you don't have to be in a formal employment or have a big business, but whatever you have to offer and say, okay, look, this is the skill I have to offer to the young people, in as much as we talk to them about family life and relationships and all, I want to bring on board this skill that I can teach them. I'm able to sew, I'm able to knit, I'm able to make peanut butter or whatever it is. The young people will be drawn to that because now it's not only you encouraging me to stay in the church, but you're also giving me a skill that I can get for free. And then the second point is we have to treat all women, ladies, sisters as equals. I think in as much as we want to be Christians and though the reality on the ground is we have classes, we have levels. There are certain people you don't want to engage. There are certain people you feel can't make presentations. They can't talk to us because of maybe in the lower end of the income bracket, then they have valuable skills, they have valuable advice that they can share to young people. And so we as young people see that the church, our mothers, and the church at large is embracing everyone despite where they're coming from. It creates a sense of safety. Because if I'm coming from a background where I know my mom is treated a certain way because she doesn't have a formal job, I will not feel safe if they call me in for a program of mentorship.
Sure.
Because there's a certain way that you've looked at people who sell on the streets, who have kiosks or booths or whatever it is. And so I'll feel out of place. So when we treat all women as equals, we all want to develop, we all want to grow, we all want to strengthen our relationships with Christ and in our relationship. And then you bring in this added advantage of mentorship in terms of professional and social life. I think it creates a safer environment. So all in all, just nurturing young people and bringing them in an environment that's less judgmental and more developmental in all aspects of their life.
Yo, wow. You nailed it. Thank you so much, my sister. I know I said that was the last question. Something just came up to mind that, Haibo. So I think this question I'm about to ask you is related to the one that I've just asked you. So in your opinion, let me put it this way. In your opinion, what makes young women leave the church? Is it because of the style, the worship style? Is it because we are judging them the way they dress? What makes them leave the church, in your opinion?
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
That's a tough one. But from my experience, anyway, with the people that I've interacted with that unfortunately have left the church, the very two things you've mentioned. Number one, the judgment of how they dress,
right,
has been an issue of contention. So because we want to say, "Oh, come as you are," then there's this issue of, "Yeah, but then the Christian, you must be the certain standard, and this person is not yet ready to let go of certain things." So number one, there's the issue of judgment from the church. Number two, I also want to think there's some blame on their end as well.
Right.
I have people who've been accountable and said, okay, honestly speaking, I genuinely was not ready to change and live my lifestyle. So I decided to just leave the church. So there's an issue of, yes, there's a role to play, the church has a role to play in allowing people to come as they are and then teaching them and nurturing them, making them understand why they have to go for certain ways. Because if I just walk into your church, what if it's my first time? And then you're like, "Oh no, ma'am, your skirt is too short, or you're not allowed to wear slacks in church." I will leave and I'll never come back. And speaking from a point of a mental health expert, people go through a lot of things. Sometimes they don't even process what they're wearing, or you know how they come. They literally come as they are, because that's the mess that they're going through. And so if the church starts to understand that people are coming because they have felt this desire to come to church, let's nurture that desire, and then the teaching comes afterwards. So if we keep pushing young people away, we are going to the church full of old people who have no one to pass the message down to. And to my fellow young people, I think we also have to take accountability and be responsible where we are aware of what certain doctrines mean, and in terms of modesty and all those things, where we know and we know what we are doing.
Right.
Let us be honest about it, and let's not label the church or a certain congregation as judgmental when we had a role to play in the judgment that came.
You see, my sister, before I became an Adventist, now, I was wearing the way I would like to wear in that particular day. But nobody told me to change the style, because I was not judged. I was welcomed as I was. Nobody told me to change the way I was dressing. I decided, because I saw it fit, to do so. So I believe if we can change the way, maybe the way we like we've mentioned, that we need to create a safer space for them. We need to give them the accessible spaces for them to be comfortable, so that they can see that, oh, no, I should change this, without even telling them. Wow. Sure. Thank you so much, my sister, for your time. Before I let you go, let's close this conversation with a word of prayer.
Okay.
Please pray for us.
Pray?
Yes.
Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this moment you've given us to share your word and to share words of encouragement and words of hope. There's still so many things we want to learn, so many things we're still learning, and so many things we want to teach. May you speak to us, may you direct us, and continue keeping us safe long enough for us to achieve your purpose in our lives. Keep us safe throughout the rest of the day. In Jesus Christ, and we ask and pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so, so, so much, my sister, for your time. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you. You too.
Amen. All right. That was Sister Serenje talking to us. Talking to us about the role of mentorship in women empowerment.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.